Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And I wanted to punch the person next to me, and I was a perfect stranger.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
That's me.
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Scher.
Hello!
Today we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Glassy pod.
On glass.
Timely.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's still number one at the box office.
It is. It's
still number one at the
listen,
box office.
Listen, another problem with our culture, I've already discussed one that might be in the outtakes. Another one is this, like, immediacy, right? It's been out for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Reviewing this is not late.
That's true.
Be if we were doing this a year from now. But this idea that if you don't get your review out opening weekend, it doesn't matter. Fuck that noise. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, the movie has made $88 million domestic so far, and it's about $200 million worldwide. It is the third in this. We didn't know it was a series until the very end of Split. So
where to start?
I watched Glass couple weeks ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't remember how long ago it was. It was around the time it opened, but I hated this movie. I guess sometimes you come up with your own storyline for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly David Dunn, because that's what we were left with at the end of the last one.
Mm-hmm.
This one starts off like it's a natural, like 19 years in the making sequel to Unbreakable. We almost can forget about Split, really.
Yeah, it starts out that way. Yeah.
Yeah. You can almost forget about Split. So it starts off like that. And he and his son are like the Batman and Robin, I guess.
Yeah.
And where Robin is all Batman and Alfred mainly.
Yeah, he's the guy in the chair.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's telling him, where to look for crimes and shit. Mm-hmm. I guess. I feel like we've missed something over these years.
Well, and that first section is really awkwardly rushed, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the part where we see David Dunn busting a couple thugs and then going back to talking to his son, and then next thing we know he's out looking for Split Guy. That all is probably like 8 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember feeling in the moment, this is happening too quickly, which is an extra problem 30 minutes later when the movie screeches to a ginormous halt for like an hour.
And then it becomes Split too. Then it's all about James McAvoy. It's all about the Horde. And fucking David Dunn's gone. Glass is, a vegetable. And, like, the movie about him takes almost the entire movie to be about him,
Yeah, yeah. To become, why did they call this Glass? It really takes a long time to get to that point. I don't even know where to begin because I feel like, and then we're in non-spoiler territory here, so yeah. I feel like the ending of this movie is an absolute total failure.
Which one?
Yes.
There's like three or four endings. I agree.
In its entirety, yes.
When it ended several other times in the movie.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
There wasn't some like special M. Night Shyamalan's been distributing four endings around.
That'd be fucking great. That would be better than what we got.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about like a Return of the King type of thing. But yes, yeah. I agree. All of them
complete failure, and I can't wait to get into spoilers about it because I can't wait to just start tearing into that fucking ending. That ending pissed me off so much that, you know, I was like, seriously, it's so like that ending is so off the pulse of what is going on today.
I think he's in his head too much. And that's always been his problem starting at Signs, right? Is that M. Night is wrapped up in his own bullshit. But like, you can really see it here. It's like he's been in a vacuum this whole time. And you can see it at the beginning where he's like pontificating on Salt Bae and shit like that, like cramming in this weird pop culture reference. And then that extended cameo that like,
God damn, every time he shows up, it's like that though, right?
This one seemed like it was super indulgent.
Every time he shows up, there's some super long, and he's like, he's always morose,
yep.
or you know, he's always talking very slowly to somebody and telling them how things are.
Yeah.
I wish things could be better, but I must go now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. he was fine in Split because he actually had a character.
Yeah,
it's the same character in Unbreakable, Split.
Yeah.
And here, but in Split, like he actually had a purpose rather than just popping up. M. Night, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, and it's just I feel like my speculation is he really did map most of this out 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And when he came back to it, after Split was a success, he rebuilt his name. He now had the clout to make this. It was like he said, I'm not going to listen to what any of film has done for the last 19 years. I'm
going
to stick to my guns. And maybe if this movie comes out in 2001, it might work a little better.
Maybe.
Oh, I think it
definitely would. We don't have the MCU and all that stuff that has sort of changed what superhero movies are.
Yes, and people's knowledge of comic books.
I'm going to fix this movie, by the way.
I want you to. This movie presupposes that the audience does not know what they have to know about comic books, which back in 2000, like you're saying, we really didn't, unless you're a super comic book
nerd. He's super stuck on a lot of these goddamn Zack Snyder-y comic book frame moments.
Yep.
And comic book dialogue, where it's not a spoiler to say at one point in this movie, Mr. Glass is asked what his name is. And he literally says, first name Mr., last name Glass. And I wanted to punch the person next to me. And I was a perfect stranger. I thought about it for like a half second. But there's enough that works. Like James McAvoy's incredible in this movie.
He is.
There's a section where he changes personalities about 8 times in a beat. Mm-hmm. And it's mesmerizing.
Yes, it is. It is.
And I think there are ideas at work when we get into the fixing part. That's when I'm going to tell you my ideas that I think work, and we'll throw out all the ones that I think don't. But yes, this movie was super frustrating, but my frustration is complex. Because
yeah.
I adore these characters. There are beats and moments, even in this movie, that really worked for me. And then a lot of it just felt like a middle finger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he could have... It just feels like the even though he's got the pacing and everything, he put these characters in the wrong situation.
Yes. Yes.
And these characters aren't doing what I want them to be doing in this thing. I don't know if part of what you're fixing it is, but one of mine would be to have the ending be the beginning.
Do we
have to? I mean, I will get into spoilers as to why they're in their situation later, but
I'd like that. Well, I will say we were halfway through the movie, and I thought to myself, has he even said one line of dialogue?
He hasn't.
Named after him.
Yeah, I think it takes 70 minutes.
Does finally speak, he won't shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
And the dialogue. You think this dialogue was on purpose?
Yes,
it was intentional. The stilted dialogue, because I don't remember, Unbreakable seemed like it didn't have a lot of dialogue, right? There was a lot of like brooding shots and like things and setup and atmosphere.
There isn't much.
Yeah, right. And in Sixth Sense, it seems like the dialogue was very good and it was pretty snappy. Yeah, it was a little slow, but it wasn't stilted and non-human. This seems like it's from a completely different mindset, even though they're the same characters. Like, who talks to their son the way that these two, David and his son, talk, and who talks to their dad that way?
Mm-mm.
And even when Mr. Glass is, you know, doing his comic book villain thing, he's talking like a parody of a comic book villain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And really the only thing that's weirdly tied to reality is McAvoy's dialogue, which changes, you know, the drop of a hat.
Yeah, which I think it looks less impressive from a writing standpoint when you back out and look at the rest of the movie, because if you want to go scattershot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a really, really frustrating experience. Yes, I'm going to have to watch it again to really settle on exactly where it's broken. Mm. But I don't think really any of what he set out to accomplish ends up working.
Well, before we move into spoilers, one point that kept coming back to me is that we watched this trailer a long time ago when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And you had said, like, I think that most of that stuff happens within the first 15 minutes or so. And I think I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, that would be cool. And like you're saying, like, you make the end the beginning of the movie. And then you could have gone in any direction. But that 15 minutes that you were thinking about is the entirety of the movie.
It really is.
And it's super fucking frustrating. I was like, so we're going to move on from this, right? We're going to move. They literally showed the end of the movie in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And I'm like, how the fuck did we get here? Of all the directions that you could have taken,
yep,
this was it.
Yeah.
Ah, Jesus. Anyway, so do we do our grades before?
We can do it before. Fuck.
I'm going to give this, because it doesn't veer into total shit territory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just like, oh my God, this is such garbage. Like, you know, that'd be a serious offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this is a C minus.
I'm going to say the exact same thing. It's weird because he sacrifices a lot of story for the visual flair, which has always kind of been his thing. But the visuals themselves are pretty fucking amazing.
That's the thing, right? It's not bad filmmaking.
No.
It's bad choice making.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And so I will also give it a C minus with a middle finger.
Mm-hmm. Right through the C?
That's right. That would make it a plus, though.
That's true.
That's true.
Damn.
So if we can talk spoilers now.
Let's do it.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Miss Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
Spoiler warning, yes. Spoiler warning, spoiler yes. warning.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Sarah Paulson's bad.
She sure is.
She's a bad guy.
No, she's not bad.
Yes.
There is no bad or good.
Mm.
This is a most bullshit ending reveal ever.
So you know what? If this ending had happened, I said that the ending should go first, but maybe change some things.
Yes.
Yeah. The ending where there's this viral video going around that Glass has sent of all the superpowers going on, real actual footage shot on cameras. You can't dispute that.
Yes.
You can't fucking dispute that
everybody,
one bit.
Everybody
and everybody is looking at it at the same time in the train station.
Oh,
nobody has anything else to do. If somebody sends them a viral video and says superheroes are real, guess what? They're all looking at it.
Fucking. That's why. If this did come out in 2001, maybe you could talk me into that ending.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, we have incontrovertible proof that superheroes exist. But now, come on, we were just talking about fucking deepfakes on the last episode.
Well, and fucking, listen,
Oh, this guy's, you know, panther crawling through the fucking
nobody
backyard.
Can do that. No human can do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge glaring problem. Especially when, if you wanted to go with this bullshit terrible ending idea, you just have the news choppers come in from multiple stations, and then you've got more footage that's harder to dispute.
Yeah.
But you wanted to make Glass a goddamn genius, and you did a basically a CSI camera storyline where he knows all the cameras are there, so he's going to use that to his advantage. Mega genius.
Mm-hmm.
The only way he can possibly get the word out about supers is for him, all three of them to die.
It's a to come out. It's a cruel intention.
Super genius.
Ending.
Villain genius. My mind is my power. That's the best he can do.
It's like,
I have to die, and so do these two punks.
It's like the life of David Gale.
It really is. It's the superhero life of David Gale. And I was okay. So while I'm angry, I'm going to get it out of my mind. The puddle is a lie. The puddle is the new I've got the high ground Anakin lie.
Mm-hmm.
David Dunn is drowned in a puddle.
Yes.
A puddle.
Yeah.
Like, okay, in the first Unbreakable, he had to be submerged for water to even be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, they make it sound like a squirt gun would knock him down.
Right.
then they do. You want him to drown, so you use a puddle. You had the fucking jug full of water over there. You threw him in that, and what happened then? Oh, he was strong enough to punch out of it, but this puddle, boy, he can't restrain on this puddle. Nope. A human being is holding him down, and he can't move his head to the side. He does for a while to get the whammy from the lady, but then he just willingly puts his face back in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. The puddle
it
is alive.
It is the most disgraceful way to kill a hero I have ever seen.
David Dunn is fucking wasted in this movie.
He really is.
You have that beginning setting up a very interesting premise. He's old. He's crotchety. He's still crime fighting and shit like that with his son. But then he fucking disappears once they get to the hospital.
Yeah. It's because what happened was M. Night said, hey, Bruce, are you going to try on this one or not? And Bruce said, no. And he said, all right, so I'm just going to write it so you're gone for half the movie.
I don't think he even changes his facial expression.
No. I didn't even understand why he had to get taken in at the beginning either.
Yeah.
Like,
well, how did they know if they're looking for these girls?
That's another thing.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason why, even if they knew where the girls were, they knew that Glass and Split would go out the fucking window.
Glass and Split.
He would go through the glass.
Of course, I mean David Dunn, but Unbreakable and Split would go through the glass right there, and they'd be just sitting there waiting for them.
Yes.
Like, as if they have homing beacons on them. And even if they had homing beacons, why are you waiting until this point?
Or why didn't David just run?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at the first part before we got into the part about them being there in the first place. I don't know why he had to be taken in. He's unbreakable, so why doesn't he just run?
Yeah.
And if they shoot him...
She actually says, if you go that way, he tries to run, and she says, if you go that way, you will escape, but you'll probably kill some people on the way.
Does she really?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that.
Kill some people?
Yeah, she says, yes, you can go that way, but it'll go through several people, I guess because there was a line of people that would die for it, basically.
I thought it was because she said his name, and he was like, oh, she knows my identity, I guess I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I thought that was lame, but I didn't hear that line.
I didn't hear that line either, but it let's just point out that it's a bullshit line, okay? Even if they give a reason for the reason like why he doesn't do it, that's still a bullshit reason.
He could literally just walk through there.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
exactly.
People off and all
right.
That shit.
I mean, that would have been an awesome scene,
yes!
too. Would have been funny, too. Like all these people piling on him, and you just see this pile moving.
Little glimpses of a poncho.
Yeah, it's kind of like that game one where you go around collecting shit as you roll around. And it's got some Japanese name or whatever. It's just like that. We've already made this movie better.
Oh, yeah, man. Are you kidding?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Now, am I wrong, Lars? Does Glass get out of his cell once in this movie with no explanation?
Yes.
And then,
at least once.
Like the first time, what are you doing out of your cell? The movie never explains how he got out of his cell.
No.
Does it?
No. Well, I mean, he's faking, essentially, right? So he's been palming the drugs.
Well, sure, but that didn't give him a passcode or a...
I know.
Yeah, unless he's got some sort of like card to wave in front of the thing.
Every other time, yeah, he's got to follow somebody else
but
up.
Now apparently he's a computer genius and all that. Because remember, in Unbreakable, he's a comic book genius, but I don't think and he may be a genius at killing people, too.
He's not a goddamn hacker.
But I don't remember him. Yeah, that had a lot of Jurassic Park moments.
It's going to be so much fun to see
like,
this
already,
movie.
Already had the outtake in mind, you know, access main security grid.
I swear when he's in that, when he kills that dude with the slashing of the throat with, I guess, a piece of glass, well, that's pretty on the nose. I feel like M. Night was shooting that going, this is better than Ex Machina. Right?
Yeah.
It's almost like he saw Ex Machina and said, I can do better than that. I'm going to roll it into my Unbreakable sequel, along with five other plot threads. All right, so you want to know how I would fix this movie?
Yes.
Or what I wanted to happen that might have saved the movie? That's a better way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
About halfway through, when she starts convincing David that maybe he is delusional, and she makes a couple compelling arguments to Kevin about the bars being old and water soaked or what have you, and not that hard to pry apart. The movie I wanted from that point on was that they actually are delusional. And they bust out. They have a massive superhero fight. Everything looks like what we got. But then when she walks up and says, "See, you're delusional," and she shows them the security footage, it's just two humans punching each other.
Slap fighting
out in the yard. And they really are delusional. Like, if you want a twist whammy ending, that would have worked.
I'm down with that.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not down with that at all.
All right, why?
Because you're saying fuck you to people who liked Unbreakable once you say that.
I feel like Glass is saying, I feel like the movie we got is saying fuck you to people who liked
Unbreakable.
I don't
think he intends to say it, even though he has said it. That's like I don't know, a Tourette's way of saying fuck you to somebody like that watches the... impugn. But I don't like that at all, just because I think that if you're a fan of Unbreakable, you believe after you saw that first movie that he is what they say he is.
Sure.
And to say, oh, well, by the way, it's delusional and we found some bullshit reasons why, you know, then I wouldn't have liked that either.
I'm saying write better reasons, maybe.
Yeah. No,
I'm not saying only the evidence she presented in Glass and then you draw the conclusion. I'm saying lean harder into that.
Lean harder into something that isn't this. I actually thought, because, of course, you expect a twist. You were spoiled. I was unspoiled.
Right.
I thought that they were going to realize that they're literally in a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. It really hit home for me when all the other characters showed up at the exact same time. Anya Taylor-Joy, Glass's mom, and Bruce's kid, mm-hmm. right? They all show up at the same time.
They, took a collective Uber or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's like
Grand Theft Auto. They just
headed up to the hospital.
I think the medical hearse shows up, and then
and there was these girls that he could kidnap that were easily kidnappable. There's a rapist van that he could just throw it in. Like, everything's set up so perfectly for the conclusion that I was like, it'd be interesting, at least it would explain a lot of things, if this were actually a comic book.
We're in a aha song all along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just from those two ways alone, I think Chris suggested them, there's so many different ways that you could go with this movie that
I do like Chris's idea that if you you start with the climax here, maybe even you kill these three. I don't think you need to kill any of them, but let's say you do, and then the new heroes come out of the woodwork and have to figure out how to hero and how to find each other. That could be an interesting movie.
Yep.
I wouldn't call it Glass at that point.
I wouldn't call this Glass.
Yeah.
There's so little Glass in this Glass movie.
Yeah. I didn't like. I mean, I don't know. It almost would have been better if you'd just given me the typical... stereotypical cheesy hero ending,
mm-hmm.
where he fights Kevin, wins, turns Glass in again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can even go to a black title card again, yeah. like at the end of Unbreakable. Glass was arrested again.
Yeah.
David went back to his store. That would have been better than this. I just felt like he wanted so bad to kill people. And as a writer, I enjoy killing my characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think it adds a lot, but I try not to do it haphazardly. And I try and growth out of it somehow, or propelling the story somehow. It's just like, I feel like he started on page one, they're all gonna die by the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now how am I gonna get there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's infuriating. I don't feel like they had to die.
We may have lightly touched on this when you were talking about the Glass plan, and I can't wait till we get to the Glass plan in the Sins video. you were talking about the setting up of the cameras and everything, which are the only reason why that comes up is because he comes out of his cell.
Mm-hmm.
So he apparently knows that they will put up tons of cameras everywhere.
Yes.
That will bring up this big, huge fight at the end and everything. And there's a level of genius here that is, it's not, it's nobody has this kind of genius.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, there's not an algorithm out there that comes up with this scenario.
No. And it's so far fetched that it has no stakes to it. Yeah. You don't believe it. You don't buy into it.
Yeah. So there's no way he knew that, oh, they're going to set up the cameras and then the big breakout's going to happen. And well, I remember that also during the breakout part, there's like so many things that have to go right.
Yeah.
For that to even happen.
And he's narrating the whole time.
Well, yeah,
too.
he's like, you know, go forward or whatever and beat these guys up. I'm going to come up later or whatever. And it's like, you know, and it barely, you know, succeeds.
Yeah.
So like, I don't get any of that, but, what do we think about this organization that is trying to make sure that we suppress people with,
you mean the rich people that that eat in public places in the middle of the day? And
yes,
that was like a Hannibal Lecter dinner party.
Okay, tell me, for this was the most WTF moment of the movie, aside from the viral video that happens at the end. You know, when she finally touches David Dunn, uh-huh. And Dunn like, oh, we're about to see some shit now. Here's a reveal. All we see is somebody go and like lock up the restaurant.
Yeah, it's like security cam footage.
And profits. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that, again, this, if it were a comic book, it plays a lot better. That's the from my understanding, that's the way you write comic books, is for moments like this but in a movie that's. Unbreakable has always been heralded because it supposedly takes place in reality, and it treats superheroes the way reality would, instead of a comic booky kind of way. And now here we are at the end of the whole franchise, and we're doing all the comic booky ways now. Like, you've got like 99% of the people in that building were part of your secret society, and you were all just talking about sports and the weather and shit until Bob left.
Until Bob.
And then
left.
Once Bob is gone, time to have our fucking meeting. There is no. I'm sorry. No. And it happens twice in this movie.
I know, man. It has like the Get Out dinner party thing, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Where dude goes upstairs and they're just like, all right, everybody shut up.
I think that's what you said there is what encapsulates a lot about what I don't like about it is instead of it being that based in reality part, it's now become, it has become what it was trying to be different from.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just disappointing to see that. Like, there's subtle ways to make this, you know, this secret society without making them people who meet in fucking public places. Yeah. And shit like that. You can make it where that, you know, it's a little bit, I don't know, a little bit different. Why do they even have big, huge meetings anyway? There's no reason.
And if they do, wild restaurant. Yeah. You don't have like a headquarters? God damn.
Right.
You got some money somewhere if you got the SUVs and the mm-hmm. tattoo squad.
Like, it's like, why, you know, why not just make it some corporation, make it some like, it, you know, not Exxon, you know, yeah, make it a corporation or some of some sort that's like making sure that would make sense to me. Like some rich corporation doesn't want, you know, big superheroes going around.
Yeah, I don't mind the actual entity of that balance thing. That actually is a decent idea to me, but the way that it's pulled off, the way that it's presented is just ridiculous and goofy.
Right. And
Goofy himself could show up in this movie and it would not make the movie any goofier.
Right.
I'll tell you what pissed me off about this movie is that it's all MacGuffin, right? It's leading up to this big tower. This big tower is the biggest tower in Philadelphia. By the way, you can't go above William Penn on City Hall in terms of height in Philadelphia. So that's kind of bullshit,
dude,
too.
Dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please.
But it's all this, and the whole fucking thing, except for that beginning, takes place in this hospital. Mm. And then it ends on the fucking lawn, the front lawn. And you think, oh, well, they can see the fucking tower. It's like within walking distance. And you're like, oh, well, they're going to get there soon.
Yeah.
No, it's on the fucking lawn.
Yeah.
Everything happens on the lawn.
He goes in the water tank and the beast is holding him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still strong enough to punch a hole in the water tank.
Puddle.
But when he gets pushed in a puddle by a human,
it's true.
No more strong.
It's true.
All strong go bye bye.
Well, you know what they're gonna say is that because he was in the water so long, that puddle was enough to kill him.
Yeah,
I felt like weakened. Those jets on the wall in his cell were all middle fingers. Like he can't dodge that shit. or hide from it?
Well, I think it's a watertight cell. Like it actually like holds water.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the implication was. Suggesting of like turbocharged jets shooting at him, we're gonna like subdue him. Like,
no, I think it actually like fills up.
Oh, well, that I'll take it back then. I didn't realize that.
It's still bullshit.
By the way, I'm no comic book expert or anything like that. So when I say this, I'm sure a bunch of the comic book nerds will come out and correct me. But I feel like there's also a misinterpretation by Glass of what comic books are trying to do with their big battles in the middle of cities and stuff like that. Because this was the whole setup, was this Philadelphia Tower.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be a big battle there. Then everybody would witness it and see it. Which is, by the way, would be way better than this bullshit that he did.
Yeah, because they have a chemical making floor.
I think three floors.
Yeah. Three floors of chemical making.
But he actually says that the comic book is explicitly stating that this is what the villain wants. Is that he wants to have a battle in the middle of a crowded city of some sort. So that everybody will know that they exist. And I've never gotten that from a comic book thing before.
No.
Like, I've never understood that to be the villain's plan all along or whatever. Maybe to the fractured mind of Glass that he thinks that's what it's supposed to be. Like, villains are trying to be much more than they really are by advertising to the world.
Maybe it's like a Grindelwald thing where he wants to get out there because they're superior to humans.
I mean, the movie really slobs all up on his knob, doesn't it?
Yes.
Glass.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like at the end, yeah.
It redeems the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
His mom's like, "You were glorious." And then she's with the other hero offshoots, Robin and Batgirl or whatever.
Exactly.
She's part of the hero squad.
Yeah.
And Glass is going to get credit for having exposed the heroes and the Clover team and the tattoo whatnot. And he's lionized by the end of this movie. It was justified.
Yes. All those
Fuck
deaths.
That.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, they even tried to justify his fucking train wreck thing.
They really did.
Oh, my God. Is there a more useless reveal than that, by the way?
Oh, no, because we already knew all of that.
Yeah.
All of that.
Also, I like how this movie's getting credit for using footage from that last movie.
Is it getting credit?
Yes, it is. Like, I've seen a lot of people praising the fact that he used a deleted scene from Unbreakable as a flashback scene in Glass.
For Kevin's dad? Is that
when Bruce Willis comes in and his son is talking about him being a hero, and he's like, a lot of guys do stuff and things. It's just a very innocuous scene. That's the reason he cut it from the
he
first
still
movie.
Has kind of hair, yeah.
Right, but it's like, oh, so he kept the negatives. Bravo!
Yay!
It's like it's almost like praising Matrix Revolutions for building a set.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Reloaded.
Yeah, exactly.
They built sets in Revolutions too, fucker.
Yeah.
But yes, Reloaded.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, fuck this movie, man. It got even worse because I was on the fence when I first watched it. I was like, you know, I had that face when I was watching it. And then I was like, what's the point of this movie? Like, what is this movie trying to do? And I yelled it into the Twitter ether and got a weird amount of responses back saying, like, it's a pontification on the, you know, the reality of comic books and how it intersects with real life. I'm like, man, you're in a different mindset than I am, and God bless you, but
there's always a population of people that want so bad a movie to be good that they believe, they convince themselves it's, I don't know, maybe they're allowed to love it.
Yeah.
I think it's got like a 30-something on Rotten Tomatoes, 30-something percent.
Yeah, and that's kind of trended up, I guess, because at the beginning.
You know, I don't think
really
the consensus is very high. If you loved it, you loved it, mm-hmm. but don't try and teach me a college course on how I misunderstood it, because I understood it just fine.
Yeah.
Message received.
I think,
fuck you, Jeremy.
I think Split, and I didn't like Split nearly as much as everybody else did. Mm-hmm. I think Split is probably going to prove to be the fluke. In this latter career of M. Night, you know?
I guess.
Devil and Split. Devil, of which he didn't even direct.
Yeah, and it wasn't his, but a lot of people also put The Visit up there, too.
I don't think there's greatness in that, though.
No, there's not. But
no, it's just a good, decent horror movie.
Yeah, it's something that's like finally something that doesn't totally suck.
It's like the Wonder Woman syndrome, right?
Yeah.
DC finally puts out a movie exactly. That's not terrible, and we're like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's right.
So, we didn't like this.
Yeah, fuck this movie.
Sorry.
That's a hard warn from all three.
Yes, it is.
Sound off on Sincast presented by Sins on Facebook. Go to CinemaSins Twitter, although Jeremy gets enough already, so don't go there.
It'd be interesting to hear the responses to this review, actually.
Yeah, go to SoundCloud. We also have set up Discord is finally for most people, I think.
Yay!
For it has a lot of channels that you can go to now and talk to us. Just talk about this, what you thought about Glass. But that'll do it for this episode of this mini-pod.
It's a mini-pod.
Glass-a-pod. Of Glass. It's Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Sher. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Did I share any drunken thoughts with you last night about Goonies?
No. Why not?
I did with somebody on Twitter. I had this fascination with the idea that somebody should take Goonies and spin a horror angle out of it. So, like, these kids find a map to a treasure, only at the end of the treasure, there's no treasure. There's, like, a killer.
Yeah.
And he, like, lures kids in with Goonie-like adventures, and then
I like that.
Keeps them.
Are they still being pursued by the crime family?
No, I would probably cut up that whole angle. I just kind of want a Goonies feel that turns hard from adventure into horror survival.
Yeah, I like that.
Like It and Goonies.
Like as a movie or a TV show?
As a movie.
I like that. I like that idea. I like anything that would make the Goonies different from how it is.
It's a...
It's starting strong.
Yes, we are.
I may have answered my own question.
It's a tough question, isn't it?
Yeah,
she's married.
Wife is
Sherry Jones.
Her wife. No, it's saying Holland Virginia Taylor.
Oh well, she. I think she used to date that Sherry Jones chick.
Yes, that sounds very familiar.
And she's also in a lot of M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Yes, that's where I. Yeah, that's where I.
She was the cop in Signs.
Jeez, she's got a long career.
I think my favorite Cherry is Eagle Eye Cherry.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Safety net.
Yeah.
That's breaking down in my room.
Yes.